The scripture is Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. And I'm going to read from the Message because I love the way it's described by Eugene Peterson. When the crowds of people came out for the baptism, because it was the popular thing to do, John exploded. "Brood of snakes, what do you think you're doing slithering down here to the river? Do you think a little water on your snake skins is going to deflect God's judgment? It's your life that must change, not your skin. And don't think that you can pull rank by claiming Abraham as father. Being a child of Abraham is neither here nor there. Children of Abraham are a dime a dozen. God can make children from stones if he wants. It's what counts is your life. Is it green and blossoming? Because if it's dead wood, it goes on the fire." The crowd asked him, "Well, then what are we supposed to do? If you have two coats, give one away." He said, "And do the same with your food." Tax men also came to be baptized and said, "Teacher, what should we do?" And he told them, "No more extortion. Collect only what is required by law." And soldiers asked him, "Well, what should we do?" And he told them, "No shakedowns, no blackmail. And be content with your rations." The interest of the people was now building. They were beginning to wonder, could this John be the Messiah? But John intervened. "I am baptizing you here in the river. The main character of this drama, to whom I'm a mere stagehand, will ignite a kingdom life, a fire, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything in its true and proper place before God. Everything false he'll put in the trash to be burned." There was a lot more of this. The words gave strength to the people, words that put heart in them, the Message. As I think about these words, there's a few things that I needed to remember about John the Baptist and what baptism was then. You know, now baptism is a sacrament to us and a declaration of our faith in Christ. But to them, baptism was just a chance to be cleaned of sin, literally washed off your skin. So they went to the river to be absolved, to be let go of the things that they'd been doing wrong. And at this point, John's had enough. He's kind of sick of it. Because these people keep coming back over and over again, having done the same things over and over and over again. And he's like, "I'm done with this." And so he calls them brood of snakes. And he says, "You need to change your life." And yet John knows that to change your life takes more than just the decision to do something different, right? Because we know how hard it is to decide to give something up, or to decide to walk away from something, or to decide, "I'm not going to act like this anymore. I'm not going to be angry in this situation anymore." Those are really hard things to do. And to be frank, we can't do it on our own. And as we prepare for this coming Christmas and prepare for the birth and the coming of Jesus, we're preparing for the one who can clean our inner house, who can take those decisions and those choices and make them something we never imagined, a reality. So this morning, I want you to think a little bit about what it is that you're carrying around. Because I guarantee you we all have something. And I bet God's been nudging you, maybe even before you got here this morning, with something that's in your life that needs a little cleaning. Something that you just don't want to carry anymore. Maybe it's a big thing, maybe it's a small thing. But I just want that to stir within you as we move through the morning. For me, many of you have heard pieces and parts of my story because I tell it all over the place. But for me, I went through a major house cleaning. And part of it, a big piece of it, was an icky neighbor from my childhood who did things that neighbors aren't supposed to do. And I went about life doing what I thought was normal stuff. And I went about life living it, loving God, working here, and doing the things that God was calling me to do, but carrying around this burden, this dirt, this heaviness. There was stuff in my heart that was in the way. And when God cleaned house, when he got rid of all that inner stuff, it was amazing. It was so amazing. Because what I got for the first time was not just God's love in my head, but God's love in my heart. I felt it. And I didn't know it could feel like that. I didn't know what it felt like, to be honest. Because I had never been there before. I'd had emotional, spiritual experiences. I'd gone to church. I'd been stirred before, but this was different. And so as I tried to come up with a way to help you picture what that might feel like, I kind of struggled. So I found this video clip. So let's look at it and see if that'll help give you an idea of what it's like to have your heart thawed out a little.
Yeah, and?
Elphisers, I have it. Jack, this isn't funny. Unfreeze the parents right now.
No way, Klaus. I can't unfreeze them without unfreezing myself, and that is something I'll never do.
Mother Nature, help me out here. Can you thaw him out?
I'm sorry, Santa. Our powers don't work on other legendary figures.
Isn't that a shame?
Say, Luz.
Do you think it'll work?
Question is, do you?
This is what you're all reduced to? Sending a little girl in to save the day, are we? What you gonna do? Adorableize me? Sweet me into submission? Cute me to death? Make me change my...
Wait!
Hey! Feels so strange. Feels slushy inside. Do I smell suntan lotion? I feel so tropical.
Miguel! Dos platos de nachos, por favor. What's happening to me?
I'm warming your heart.
But they told me it couldn't be done.
They didn't know about magical hugs.
I think I like it.
Well, we know the one who really gives those magical hugs, and we're about to celebrate his birth. And, you know, a lot of us have a lot of stuff in our hearts, and I think this is somewhat close to what mine was like before the cleaning. You know, all of the things that happen in life kind of get piled up in here and get in the way, and we become like Jack Frost, frozen and hardened and turned away from the things that really matter. I don't know about you, but I like the Jack Frost at the end who was saying, I like it. And so after God did some cleaning of my house, my heart's a little more like this. I joked with Pastor Joanne that I should put some more in it because it's probably not really this clean. God's probably up there laughing, going, yeah, not yet. We got more work than that to do. But there were some things that I got beyond God's love. That I have to admit, you know, God's love is pretty darn awesome. But I'm human. And what I got in addition to that is even, in my mind, better. Because when there was more room for God's love in my heart, there was the chance to feel my husband's love for the first time. I knew it. I didn't do this first service. But I never felt it. Who doesn't want that in their marriage? Who doesn't want to have that kind of intimacy in their marriage? But there's so much stuff to get out of the way. And more than that, my love for him and my children multiplied. If you would have asked me 8 years ago how much did I love my kids and my husband, I would have said with every being I had, except that my being was filled like this, and there wasn't a lot of room. And now that God's made some room, it's incredible. It's hallelujah. And so I know you're thinking, okay, she made me think about some things, and yeah, there's some things I can get out of the way, but how do I do that? Because to just stand here and say, oh yeah, God does it, I would have believed you 8 years ago, but I never would have believed that he would have done it for me. I would have listened to the story and believed that it happened, but never believed that he'd do it for me. And then that's the junk in the heart. That's the stuff that's in the way. Because he'll do it for every one of us. And he wants to do it for every one of us. It's his desire to do it for every one of us. So I'm going to share a little example, since my husband's not here, of kind of how we work through it these days. And how, just to give you an idea of what to do with this. Because to know that God will take it is one thing, but to really get rid of it is entirely different. So, you know, maybe there are people in your life who have the look. Do you have looks? Are there people in your life, maybe a parent or a sibling or a spouse, that gives you a look? And you know it's of disappointment or of frustration. And in my case, he was frustrated. Kurt gave me the look, and he was frustrated, and I knew he was frustrated, and I melted. I completely turned into a puddle of tears, and we've been doing this for a few years now, so he kind of knows to go, I don't know what just happened here, but you need to figure it out, because he has learned to recognize that when something this big happens, and I turn it into something this big, anybody ever done that? Yeah, none of us, right? It's really not about the situation. It had absolutely nothing to do with him being frustrated. Nothing. And so he tells me to figure it out. And for me, I'm in a place now where I can go figure it out by simply spending time with God. Some of us need to seek counsel. That's why we have counselors. That's why we have therapists. They help us figure these things out. That's why we have pastors. That's why we have prayer partners. We have people in our lives who can help open those doors to those rough places, those prickly places, those Jack Frost places that we don't want to admit on our own. Because we know they're there. We just don't want to deal with them or identify them. Because it's uncomfortable. And it might hurt a little. And sometimes it hurts a lot. So it didn't take a whole lot of time of prayer for me to figure out that I had taken his little bit of frustration and turned it into complete, total rejection. I can tell you with complete honesty, there has never been a time when Kurt has done anything or said anything that has allowed me to feel rejected. It didn't come from us. It came from a pile of stuff in my past. It came from, you know, most likely an alcoholic dad. And it showed up in our marriage. And so I knew that that was based in fear. And recently I had heard an acronym for fear. Get ready to write. This is really good. This is from Rick Warren. He says fear is false evidence appearing real. Right? It is, isn't it? False evidence appearing real. And that's exactly what I had done. It was very real to me. I had the evidence of the look, but my interpretation was completely false. It was built on a pile of lies in my life that had nothing to do with the current situation. So once we know what it is, and we know what that emotion is, or whatever it is in our life, or if we know that there's somebody we need to forgive, or somebody we need to apologize to, well, here's the hard part. The easy part is praying through it with God and letting him take it. But I don't, you know, how many times have we given stuff to God and taken it back? Right? We give it and we take it back. And we give it and we take it back. And we do this vicious cycle. I did it again. I took it back. And now I'm worrying about this, this, and this, and I don't need to. Or I lost my temper again and I shouldn't have. Or I did this again and I wasn't gonna. For me, what I found is the key is the hard part. I have to go to Kurt and say, honey, I'm sorry. I took your frustration and turned it into rejection, and I know that you never intended that, and that was not from you, but it was a pile of crud from my past that once again is showing up in our lives. And as soon as I do that, the power's gone. There's nothing left in it. It doesn't have a hold on me anymore because it's out in the air. It's out for us to talk about. It's out for us to identify. There's nowhere else for it to go. It's not hidden. And the beautiful thing is, you get intimacy. I mean, we all want it in our relationships. We all want it with the people we care about. We want it with our parents. We want it with our siblings. We want it with our spouses. We really want it with our spouses. But it takes that kind of raw honesty to build it. And when you do that, that's when the stuff leaves your heart. That's when God can say, okay, now it's really gone, and let you be free. So as we move into a time of communion together, I want you to take that thing that's been stirring around in your heart, that little area that God's gone, this is what we're going to work on today. And I want you to start by leaving it on the altar during communion. We've got kneelers here if you want to stay and pray. Pastor will be here to pray after. But it starts with God. And he'll help you figure out what you need to do, if there's somebody you need to go to. And sometimes we can't go to that person. You know, sometimes they're not here to go to anymore. And that's where those people in our lives who are our prayer partners, our accountability people, our pastors, our counselors, those are the people who we can go to help talk it out loud and take the power out of it. So whether it's something big like an icky neighbor or something little like a look, leave it on the altar today. And let this Christmas season be a celebration and an acceptance in your heart of the gift of Jesus. Because this is part of the gift. It's more love than you can ever imagine or know what to do with. Let's pray. God, I just ask that you just dwell in our hearts today and start to build that relationship within us and that desire within us to get rid of all the crud, to put it in the trash and let it be burned. You know what those things are, and you know how to begin this journey with us, because cleaning our inner house is what you desire, because that only brings us closer to you. And it brings more love to the world, which is why we have Christmas. So God, just allow us to begin the process and hold us accountable, because we know that we don't walk this alone and that there are people surrounding us in this room right now who are willing to walk it with us. Let this be the season where we choose you, Lord, in your gift of Jesus, first and foremost. Let the cleaning begin. Amen.